A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Here's what Daniel wrote us. The bugle has a rich history as not only a musical instrument, but a means of signaling, particularly in military context, where reveille is a famous call. Let's talk about how one could purchase and learn the bugle for use in their own house, whether it was rousing a sleeping spouse or enforcing general militaristic order. What kind of bugle would one purchase? What would be a good basic selection repertoire of distinctive bugle calls to learn, whether those that are actually defined in military use or which could be creatively adopted? Imagine that one could compose or use a distinctive bugle call which signals to everyone that dinner is ready. Or another bugle call that says, house members are called to do weekly tasks. I intend to purchase a bugle on a forthcoming trip to the US for precisely this purpose. I'd like to know how long it'd take to learn the basics and what I look for to get one that's actually fun and decent, but can be easily and safely brought back in stow luggage.
There's so much to love in this prompt. The phrase enforcing general militaristic order applied to a household, the wife being roused by a bugle. The sheer optimism of imagining a family that hears a bugle call and thinks, ah yes, chore time, rather than ignoring it completely.
The man lives in an apartment building in Jerusalem. The neighbors are going to form a militia of their own.
Counter militia, and they'll have bugles too. It'll be a bugle arms race.
So, let's sound the charge on this one. Where do we start?
Start with what the bugle actually is, because that shapes every buying decision and every learning frustration you're going to hit. A bugle is a brass instrument with no valves, no slides, no keys, no moving parts at all. It's just a tube, a mouthpiece, and a bell. All the notes come from the harmonic series, which means you change pitch entirely with your lips.
So it's like a trumpet that someone stripped down to the chassis.
A trumpet has three valves that let you fill in all the gaps between harmonics. Without valves, you're stuck with only the notes that physics gives you naturally. On a standard B-flat bugle, that's basically five usable notes. C, G, C, E, G in the middle range, and if you're good, you can reach the high C and beyond. Every bugle call ever written lives inside those five or six notes.
Which is why they all sound like bugle calls. You literally can't play anything else.
Right. And that constraint is the whole genius of it. The bugle wasn't designed to be a musical instrument in the concert sense, it was designed to be heard. On a battlefield, over gunfire, across a camp of several thousand men, the bugle cuts through. The sound carries. The harmonic series naturally emphasizes frequencies that the human ear picks out of noise.
So before we get to Daniel, terrorizing his household with chore calls, give us the history. Where did this thing come from?
The modern bugle traces back to the mid-18th century. Before that, armies used drums and fifes for signaling, but cavalry units had a problem. You can't play a fife on horseback very well, and drums are awkward. So they adopted the hunting horn, which was a coiled brass instrument already used in fox hunting. By the 1770s, the British Army had formalized bugle calls for cavalry. The infantry picked it up soon after.
And the name?
Comes from the Latin buculus, meaning young bull. Through Old French bugle, meaning wild ox, the instrument was originally an actual ox horn. So when Daniel blows that thing in his living room, he's participating in a tradition that goes back to someone hollowing out a horn and going, I bet this will annoy the enemy.
A tradition of annoyance. Beautiful.
The big moment for standardization was the American Civil War. In 1867, the U.S. Army published the first official manual of bugle calls, and that's where most of the calls we still recognize come from. Reveille, taps, mess call, assembly, charge, retreat. Each one had a specific meaning, and soldiers had to memorize all of them. If you heard the wrong call at the wrong time, you might charge when you were supposed to eat, or go to bed when you were supposed to charge.
Taps is the one everyone knows, even if they don't know the name.
Taps was composed in 1862 by a Union general named Daniel Butterfield, with help from his brigade bugler Oliver Norton. Butterfield didn't like the existing lights-out call, which was borrowed from the French, so he wrote a new one. 24 notes. It was adopted by both sides of the war within months, and it's been the standard ever since. It's played at military funerals, at memorial services, every evening at American military bases. That call is now over 160 years old, and it hasn't changed a note.
24 notes. That's the entire emotional range of a military funeral, and it fits inside the harmonic series of a brass tube with no moving parts.
That's what makes the bugle compelling. It's the most constrained instrument in Western music, and yet it's produced some of the most recognizable melodies ever written. The constraint forces clarity. You can't noodle. You can't add ornamentation. You have to say exactly what you mean with five notes.
Which brings us to Daniel, who wants to say, "Dinner is ready," with five notes. Let's talk about buying one.
The buying decision is simpler than most people think. A bugle is fundamentally a simple instrument. There's no valve mechanism to go wrong, no moving parts to maintain. What you're paying for is the quality of the brass, the precision of the tubing, and the mouthpiece.
So what's the actual checklist?
First, key. Get a B-flat bugle. That's the standard. Almost all military bugles are in B-flat. If you buy something in C or E-flat, you'll be learning calls in the wrong key, and they won't sound right when you play along with recordings. Second, material. Brass is fine. Silver-plated is nice, but purely cosmetic. A basic brass bugle will sound identical to a silver one. The difference is tarnish resistance and looks.
And Daniel specifically wants something portable he can bring back in luggage.
A standard bugle is about 11 to 12 inches long, weighs under a kilogram. It's smaller than a trumpet because it has less tubing. It'll fit in a carry-on bag easily. The issue is protection. Brass dents. If you throw a bugle in stow luggage with no case, you'll open your bag to find a very sad, lumpy instrument that won't play in tune anymore.
So padded case.
Non-negotiable. Most bugles come with a basic case. If Daniel buys a used one without a case, get a padded gig bag. For stow luggage specifically, wrap the cased bugle in clothes, put it in the center of the suitcase, and it'll be fine. Or just carry it on. Airlines generally allow brass instruments as carry-ons as long as they fit in the overhead bin, which a bugle absolutely will.
Price range?
For home use, $50 to $100 gets you a perfectly decent student bugle, something like a Blessing or a Jupiter student model. They hold pitch, they're durable, they sound like a bugle. You don't need a $200 professional model. That's for people playing at military funerals where the intonation has to be flawless in front of a grieving family. For waking up your wife, a $50 bugle is more than sufficient.
And what's the trap? What should he not buy?
Don't buy a toy bugle. There are bugles sold as souvenirs or decorative items that look like the real thing but are made of cheap metal that won't hold pitch. They're basically bugle-shaped objects. If it costs $20 and comes from a gift shop, it's not an instrument. Also, avoid anything advertised as a pocket bugle or mini bugle. Those are novelty items. They don't play in B-flat and the intonation is terrible.
Mouthpiece?
The mouthpiece matters more than the bugle for a beginner. A standard trumpet mouthpiece will fit a bugle, but bugle mouthpieces are slightly different. They have a deeper cup and a wider rim, which makes it easier to hit the lower harmonics. If the bugle comes with a mouthpiece, use that. If not, a Bach 7C trumpet mouthpiece is a good starting point. It's the most common beginner mouthpiece in the world for a reason.
So Daniel walks out of a music store in America with a B-flat brass bugle, a padded case, and a decent mouthpiece. He spent maybe $80. Now what? He gets home, puts it to his lips, and...
nothing comes out, or something that sounds like a wounded goose. And that's completely normal. The embouchure, which is the way you shape your lips and facial muscles to produce a sound, is the entire skill. On a trumpet, you can cheat a little. You press the valve and the note changes. On a bugle, if your lips aren't exactly right, you get the wrong note or no note at all.
So the thing that looks simpler is actually harder.
In one specific way, yes. The bugle is mechanically simpler but embouchure demanding. You have to develop what brass players call lip slurs, which is the ability to jump from one harmonic to the next cleanly without any sliding or cracking. That's the core skill. And it takes time.
How much time? Daniel asks specifically.
The TAPS Bugler website, which is the best free resource out there for learning, says basic proficiency takes 4 to 8 weeks with daily practice. By basic proficiency, they mean you can play reveille and taps cleanly, with decent tone most of the time.
4 to 8 weeks? That's actually not bad.
It's really not. And here's the thing. Good enough for home is a much lower bar than good enough for a military ceremony. If Daniel's goal is to play a dinner call that his family recognizes and occasionally a reveille that gets his wife to throw a pillow at him, he can get there faster. I'd say 2 to 3 weeks of 15 minutes a day to produce recognizable versions of the basic calls.
15 minutes a day? That's the key constraint, not hours.
Brass instruments are physically demanding on the lips. Beginners literally can't practice for more than 15 or 20 minutes without their embouchure giving out. The muscles around your mouth get tired, your lips swell slightly, and your tone goes to pieces. So the practice schedule is built in. Short, daily sessions. Consistency matters more than duration.
What does that first week actually look like?
Week 1 is just buzzing. You take the mouthpiece off the bugle and practice buzzing your lips into it to produce a steady pitch. That's harder than it sounds. You're training muscles you've never used before. Once you can buzz a consistent C and G on the mouthpiece alone, you put it in the bugle and try to produce those same notes. Most people can get a sound out of the bugle within the first day or two. It won't be pretty, but it'll be a note.
And then the first call.
Reveille. It's the obvious starting point. 5 notes. C, G, C, E, G. That's it. The entire call is built from those 5 pitches in a specific rhythmic pattern. It's the first thing every bugler learns, because it uses the core notes of the harmonic series in ascending order. If you can play those 5 notes cleanly, you can play reveille.
5 notes. Daniel's entire domestic military regime rests on 5 notes.
And taps is even simpler melodically, though it's harder to play well because it's slow and exposed. Taps is basically C, G, C, E, C, G, C with some repetition. The challenge with taps isn't the notes, it's the control. You have to hold each note steady, with no wavering, at a funeral pace. Every imperfection is audible. Reveille is more forgiving because it's faster and the rhythm carries it.
So the learning path is buzz, reveille, taps, then what?
Then you expand to the other standard calls. Mess call is a great third one. It's the traditional meal signal. It's a bouncy, distinctive pattern that everyone in camp would recognize immediately. Assembly is another good one, used to gather troops. And, if you're feeling ambitious, charge. Charge is the most exciting call in the repertoire. It's the one from every movie cavalry scene. It's fast, it's urgent, it's basically a bugle screaming, go, go, go.
Let's talk about the creative adaptation, because this is where Daniel's prompt gets really fun.
This is the best part. Once you understand the harmonic series, you can compose your own calls. The constraint is your friend here. You have 5 notes to work with. Your call has to be short, distinctive, and not accidentally identical to an existing military call, because you don't want to play what you think is, dinner is ready, and have a veteran guest snap to attention.
Why is Grandpa saluting the lasagna?
So the design principles are simple. First, pick a rhythm that's unmistakable. Military calls use distinctive rhythmic patterns so they can't be confused. Reveille is a series of ascending notes with a specific dotted rhythm. Mess call has a bouncy, almost playful pattern. Your dinner call needs its own rhythm. Maybe 3 short notes, a pause, then 2 long ones. Something that doesn't sound like anything else.
And you can build meaning into the pattern. A rising call says, come here, or wake up. A falling call says, wind down, or all clear.
That's actually exactly how the military calls work. Reveille rises. Taps falls. Charge is a rapid ascending pattern that triggers adrenaline. The direction of the melody carries emotional meaning. For a dinner call, I'd suggest something that rises then falls. Rising to get attention, falling to say, come and settle. Maybe a 3-note rising pattern followed by a 2-note descending pattern. Distinctive, easy to play, and it won't be confused with anything in the military manual.
When the chores call?
That one should be more insistent. Maybe a repeated note, like 3 staccato G's in a row, then a rising 4th to C. Staccato notes sound urgent. They say this isn't optional. The psychological impact of short, separated notes versus long, connected ones is well documented. Staccato means action. Legato means reflection.
So Daniel could literally have a vocabulary. A dinner call, a chores call, a wake-up call, maybe a guests are arriving call.
And a quiet-down call for when the baby's sleeping. A soft descending pattern played quietly. The bugle can play at different volumes. You don't have to blast it at full military volume every time. You can play piano, which is Italian for the neighbors won't call the police.
Speaking of neighbors, let's address the practical social dynamics of domestic bugling.
This isn't a small consideration. A bugle is loud. It was designed to be heard across a battlefield. In an apartment building, your bugle will be heard in every adjacent unit, and probably the ones above and below. Daniel lives in Jerusalem in an apartment. The stone walls will help a bit, but not enough.
So practice mute.
Absolutely essential. A practice mute is a device that fits into the bell of the bugle and dramatically reduces the volume. It changes the feel slightly, adds some back pressure, but it lets you practice at a volume that won't start a feud. Most music stores sell them for $10 to $20. Get one. It's the difference between charming eccentric neighbor and the reason we're moving.
And there's also the question of buy-in from the household.
Hannah is a patient woman. I've known her for years. But even the most patient spouse has limits. The key is to be good enough before you deploy the bugle for actual signaling. Nobody wants to be summoned to dinner by something that sounds like a dying animal. Spend those first 2 or 3 weeks with the practice mute. Emerge only when you can produce a clean tone.
The reveal matters. One day, dinner is ready, and instead of shouting, a clear, bright bugle call rings through the apartment. That's a moment.
That's theater. And that's really what domestic bugling is. It's not about efficiency. Shouting dinner is more efficient. Texting the family group chat is more efficient. The bugle is about ceremony. It's about turning a mundane household event into something that feels intentional and special.
There's a knock-on effect here, too. Learning the bugle changes how you breathe.
Brass playing is fundamentally breath control. You learn to take deep diaphragmatic breaths, to control the exhale, to sustain a steady airflow. It's the same breath work that singers and wind players develop. Daniel's going to come out of this with better lung capacity and probably lower blood pressure, assuming the neighbors don't raise it.
And it becomes a thing, a family ritual. Ezra grows up hearing the dinner call. It becomes part of his childhood. Years later, he hears a bugle somewhere, and it immediately takes him back.
That's the long game. The bugle stops being a quirky purchase and becomes part of the household identity. Every home has sounds that define it. The particular creak of a floorboard, the way the front door closes. Adding a bugle call to that soundscape is, it's genuinely beautiful in a completely ridiculous way.
Ridiculous and beautiful is basically the show's mission statement.
Let's talk about the second-order creative possibilities, because I think Daniel's only scratching the surface. Once you have a bugle and can play it, you realize you can communicate across distance without electronics, camping trips, beach outings. Anywhere the family spreads out, the bugle calls them back.
Come back to the car, call.
A, I found a good spot. Call. A, someone's hurt? Come quickly, call. You build a vocabulary of signals that work without cell reception. It's practical in a way that most quirky hobbies aren't.
And it's analog. No batteries, no software update, no terms of service. Just brass and air.
In 2026, that's almost subversive.
All right. Let's put together the full practical guide. Daniel's buying a bugle in America. He walks into a music store or goes online. What exactly does he look for?
Here's the checklist. B-flat bugle, regulation size, which means about 11 to 12 inches. Brass is fine. Silver-plated is optional. The brand isn't critical at the student level. Blessing, Jupiter, Yamaha. If they make one, even a used Bach bugle if he can find it. The key things to check, the tubing should be smooth with no dents or kinks, the mouthpiece should seat firmly, and the tuning slide should move. Most bugles have a small tuning slide near the mouthpiece. Make sure it isn't frozen in place.
New versus used?
Used is fine. Bugles don't wear out. There's no valve mechanism to degrade. As long as the tubing is intact and the mouthpiece receiver isn't damaged, a used bugle will play exactly like a new one. Check for dents in the tubing. Small dents are cosmetic. Large dents, especially near the mouthpiece or in the main tuning slide, can affect intonation.
And he needs a case, a mouthpiece, and a practice mute.
Those are the three accessories. The case for protection during travel, the mouthpiece for playing, the mute for practicing without eviction. He might also want a cleaning kit. A flexible brush to snake through the tubing, some valve oil for the tuning slide, a polishing cloth. Basic maintenance. Brass tarnishes and spit accumulates inside the instrument. Yes, spit. Brass players are constantly emptying what they delicately call water from the instrument. It's condensation from your breath. It's gross. Empty it regularly.
The romance of the bugle, everybody.
One more thing on the buying front. if he's buying in person, playtest it, or have someone at the store playtest it. A bugle that's been dropped might have internal damage you can't see. A quick play through the harmonic series will reveal any issues.
And if he's buying online?
Stick to reputable music retailers. Not Amazon third-party sellers, not eBay, unless the seller specializes in instruments. The risk of getting a bugle-shaped object instead of an actual bugle is high on general marketplaces. Woodwind and Brasswind is a good online retailer. Musician's Friend, Sweetwater, any of those will sell legitimate student bugles.
Packing it for the flight home. Carry on or stow?
Carry on, if possible. It fits in an overhead bin, it's not a security risk, and he has control over how it's handled. If it has to go in stow luggage, hard-sided suitcase, bugle in its case, wrapped in soft clothing, centered in the suitcase so it's not against the edge where impacts happen, dents are the enemy. A dented bugle can be repaired, but it's a hassle and costs money.
So he gets home, bugle intact. Now the learning plan. You said 4 to 8 weeks. Break that down.
Week 1 and 2, embouchure development. 15 minutes a day. Mouthpiece buzzing, long tones on the bugle, trying to hold a steady C and G. The goal is a clean, unwavering tone. If the tone wavers or cracks, slow down. Better to play one good note than 10 bad ones.
This is where most beginners quit, I'm guessing.
It's where the frustration lives. Your brain knows what it wants to hear. Your lips aren't cooperating. You have to push through that. The breakthrough usually happens around day 5 or 6. Suddenly, the note locks in, and you think, oh, that's what it's supposed to feel like. After that, progress accelerates.
Week 3.
Revel. Learning the 5 notes in sequence with the correct rhythm. Start slow. Metronome slow. Get the transitions clean, then speed up. By the end of week 3, he should be able to play a recognizable revel at something close to tempo.
Week 4 through 6.
Taps and mess call. Taps for control, mess call for rhythmic variety. By week 6, he's got 3 calls he can play reliably. That's a repertoire. That's enough to wake someone up, call them to dinner, and play something solemn if the occasion requires it.
Then the creative calls.
Week 7 and 8, he understands the harmonic series now. He knows what his lips can do. He sits down and composes. The dinner call, the chores call, whatever else the household needs. He records them on his phone so the family learns to recognize them. And then he deploys.
The deployment. Let's imagine it. It's a Friday evening. Hannah's in the other room. Ezra's playing. Dinner is ready. Daniel picks up the bugle, takes a breath, and plays his dinner call for the first time.
Either it's a magical moment of domestic ceremony, or Hannah walks in and says, "What was that noise?" Either way, it's a story. Either way, the bugle has done its job.
The misconception we should address. A lot of people think a bugle is just a simplified trumpet, and therefore easier to play. That's backwards.
It's mechanically simpler, but embouchure demanding. On a trumpet, you can press a valve and the note changes for you. On a bugle, your lips have to find the exact harmonic, with no mechanical assistance. It's like the difference between a car with automatic transmission and one where you have to shift gears yourself, except the gears are invisible and you shift them with your face.
Your face. The gear shift of the bugle is your face.
I stand by that analogy. The other misconception is that you need an expensive instrument. You don't. A $50 student bugle, played well, sounds like a bugle. The player matters infinitely more than the instrument at this level.
To land this, Daniel's buying a B-flat brass bugle, $50 to $100, padded case, practice mute, spare mouthpiece, 4 to 8 weeks of 15-minute daily sessions. He'll be playing reveille, taps, and mess call, plus his own custom dinner and chores calls. The whole project costs less than a nice dinner out and gives him a skill that never needs a software update.
A household soundscape that his son will remember for the rest of his life. Not bad for a brass tube with no moving parts.
What would your household bugle call sound like? I want to know. If you've got one or you've composed one in your head, send it to us. Describe it. Hum it into a voice note. We might even play some on the show.
Imagine a world where every home has a bugle. You walk down the street at 6 in the evening and hear a dozen different dinner calls, each one unique to its household. It's absurd. It's also kind of wonderful.
Thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumentop for making this show possible. This has been My Weird Prompts. Find us at myweirdprompts.com, and if you enjoyed this, leave us a review wherever you listen. It helps more people find the show.
We'll be back soon. Until then, don't dent your bugle.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, my weird prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep, the stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close, from sloth, from man, from law. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.